This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Game Time Episode 9. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and I'm here with Richard Bradbury.
Hello. That is me.
That is you.
It is me.
Slightly delayed, but yes. It's fine.
Mine is elsewhere, Jeff, but I am here now.
Yes, and this is episode 9 of Game Time, and today we will be doing three games reviews. First one is something that the both of us are hooked on.
Yes.
Every single night. When we do have the chance to.
You're right.
When we do have the chance to, we are hooked into this first game itself, which is Star Wars Battlefront.
Right.
It is unavoidable. We will witness the destruction of the Alliance and the end of this insignificant rebellion.
Soldiers of the Rebel Alliance, this is our most desperate hour. You are our only hope.
Focus your attack on the walker.
We've spoken about Battlefront when it came out in beta. We liked it a lot, but we were unsure of how long this game would be entertaining for us. But, you know, good news, it's very, very,
very
entertaining.
I have to say I was a bit of a naysayer at the beginning, and I think of the group of us, I was one of the few that kind of voiced my concern quite strongly about this. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I'm a huge first-person shooter fan. I'm a great fan of DICE. DICE, please. But even so, you know, something like this, you expect it to be incredible, right? And in many ways, it is. But the first time that I played the beta, I'm thinking, you know, there's a few maps.
Yeah.
They seem to be very short. The round time seemed to be a little bit shorter. And I was worried that that was going to affect my enjoyment of the game.
Yeah, so the full version is out. There is no single player per se.
No.
Well, there's no storytelling,
per se. Yeah.
There's single player, which is more of like you trying to get used to the controls.
Pretty much.
Before you get into multiplayer.
I mean, they have this whole missions mode where you can rack up a few points, but you're fighting bots, you know. And
you don't want to do that.
You don't really need to do it, no.
Yeah, so four types of missions. There are 16 missions in all. It can be played offline, co-op, and online. Online player is the best. There are 10 multiplayer modes. Walker Assault, which is kind of like a big map, 40 players, and you just go all out, do whatever you want, kill as many as you can.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they would say is the full Star Wars experience, right? Yeah. Walker Assault and the next one, which is Supremacy.
Yeah, Supremacy is something that it's quite similar to Conquest if you've played, you know, other Battlefield 4 and Hardline because the same creators, DICE, and
It's about you securing a particular area, trying to defend it against the enemy and one thing or another.
And then there's Fighter Squadron,
right?
Which is, to my surprise, it's been the most fun of all them combined, and I never expected much from Fighter Squadron because I always am very terrible when it comes to flying jets or, you know, helicopters in shooter games like Battlefield 4 and Hardline. Richard will know very well to never get in the plane or the jet when I'm flying.
Or if you do, spawn out as soon as you can.
Spawn out as soon as you can. But Fighter Squadron on Battlefront is really addictive and it's really fun.
Now, you see, when I was playing War Thunder, remember we had that discussion?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And we talked about how the controls seem a little bit easy, a little bit similar. It's the same, pretty much, the control system as what is in Battlefront. And I think that's what makes it so enjoyable, is that it's relatively easy. You can pick off a lot of kills in the game quite easy, and you're not constantly being spawn camped, you know, which is a problem with some of the other first-person stuff. I think the control system is very simple. The fact that you have three things that you can use, you can either have a locking missile, a normal kind of laser, a shield, or a speed up or something. They've really simplified it. And I know a lot of people have said it's too simple and it's too easy. I disagree.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the people you're marketing the game to.
And then there's also Blaster, Droid Run, there's Cargo, there's Drop Zone, Heroes versus Villains, where you play, you know, either the dark side or you play, you know, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, and Han Solo. And then there's Hero Hunt, and there's a new one, which is the DLC just released. It's a Turning Point. This is the Battle of Jakku DLC pack. I had some issues that I'm not very happy. I've sent an email out to DICE already.
Ooh, an angry email.
Well, it's not really an angry email because apparently I'm not the only one who had issues where I subscribed to the
deluxe version.
The deluxe version, pre-ordered the deluxe version, but I was, for some weird reason, was not able to download when it was out for the pre-order guys.
Do you want me to tell you how good it is?
Let's not get there. Let me download it first, okay? Now, vehicles, in any Star Wars film, you know, we are always fascinated by the vast structures of the AT-ATs or the AT-STs. And you can play as an AT-ST or the AT-ATs. Mm. And it is... At first, it's very overwhelming because you're really empowering. It's the AT-AT compared to any other of the infantries is huge.
Yeah.
And all it takes is just one kill. And if you're anywhere nearby, you get, you know, from the blast that it has, you're going to die.
I mean, let's be clear. You can't actually control the AT-AT itself.
Throughout the whole game,
doing its own thing. What you do get to do is to control its head, essentially, for about 30 seconds if you're an AT-AT. So you can choose from using a heavy missile, a locking missile, or an orbital strike.
All right.
And like you say, it's incredibly empowering, especially on the larger maps. Mm. Not so much Endor, but when you see something like the Hoth map, which is this huge expanse of snow, and you just see all of the opposing teams running across a particular ridge, you drop an orbital strike. That's it. You know, you've got 14, 15 kills, as easy as that.
And then you can also play in Fighter Squadron. You can play as the X-Wings, the A-Wings. Then there's the TIE Fighter, the TIE Interceptor.
Yes.
And then there's the hero pickups, which is the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, yes.
Or the Slave One.
Right.
And then there's also speeder bikes in the Endor, man. That's
correct.
Speeder bikes that you can take as well. I have a problem with this fighter squadron. I think EA should fix this. Whenever either one of us, mostly it's me.
Yes, it is always you.
picking up the hero pickups and, you know, driving either, flying either the Millennium Falcon or the Slave One.
Yeah.
I am indestructible.
That is a big problem.
It is like bringing a tank to a banana fight.
Right.
It's just no one can kill me.
No, but I think if the community understood how difficult the hero pickups are to defeat, and I think this is a kind of an education issue, a community education issue, attack the hero pickups. And if everybody did that as part of the objective, if you like, and this is the same problem we have with all online games. You know, they should be objective driven.
Yeah.
As soon as you see one of these pickups, you know that you've got to take it out. Otherwise, you're going to be dead in a couple of rounds.
Of course. Yeah.
But they are way, way, way overpowered.
Mm. And there's also this system called Star Cards.
Right.
Right. So these are sort of your additional, on top of the two cards that you can carry. Basically, it's, you know, one on your left hand, one on your right hand. And Star Cards are something that you can add on to whatever. So you've got something that it's like a scout where, you know, you will be invisible in the map for a certain period of number of time.
They're the traits. They're not the star cards.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So I like that feature because I think it adds some different element, and because it's very even, the playing field. You know, there's no class like, you know, a scouter or, you know, an assault rifle or, you know, it's very even though, you know, if you decide to carry a shotgun, it still feels very fairly balanced, but the star cards and the trade cards are the ones that makes it slightly.
Really, really make a difference. Yeah. I mean, there is one in particular. It's called the Pulse Scan.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And if you've ever played online on a PC with games like Battlefield or anything, you'll know about the wall hack, which is essentially it shows you an outline of where a player is behind a wall.
Yeah.
The Pulse Scan does that.
It does.
You know, so you can go on a map, push this button, and see where all of your enemies are and know where to avoid or where to attack. It's incredibly powerful, and it changes the nature of the game.
Mm. And there's two options or viewing options. There's the first person view and there's the third person view. Both views are absolutely amazing. I'm still stuck in first person view, but a lot of people are saying you gotta go into third person view because it just gives you a lot of advantage where you can see a lot more.
I've always been a first person player.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Always. And when I noticed a lot more people seem to be playing it in third person, and the reason that I found out they were was because I would be running past people and you would see that they clearly had a smaller frame of view.
Yeah.
And you could see them looking around. I'm like, that person's in first person view.
Yeah.
And as soon as I switched to third person, it made a huge, huge difference. And I hate playing third person.
Yeah.
But when it gives you an advantage like that, you can't, you know, you can't take advantage of it. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, because a lot of first person shooter games are very serious.
Yeah.
And this game isn't.
No.
It is not serious at all. No, no, it is for everyone. You know, you don't have to be a professional first person shooter expert. You just have to be a gamer.
Exactly. It really does bring out the child in you as well. And I've said this to my friends, you know, you can be playing the Walker Assault of a Supremacy, and you may get annoyed a little bit. You might get shot a few times, and it might irritate you.
Yeah.
But then go into Fighter Squadron. Yeah. Have a little bit of a laugh. And I guarantee when you're flying around in an X-Wing or in a TIE Fighter, there's a huge smile on your face as you're doing it. The sounds are perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, we've spoken about it in the beta, about how amazing this game looks like, and it sounds
incredible.
As well. It's absolutely incredible. A must-have. For Star Wars fans, definitely.
Yeah, I would say so.
I'm not sure why a lot of people were, you know, complaining about Battlefront being a bit too less serious than it is.
Casual.
Casual gaming. But, you know, if you're a Star Wars fan, you would get into this because, like you said, Rich, you know, flying an X-Wing.
Exactly.
It's going to put a smile on your face.
Of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is.
Overall, I'm actually only going to give this a 6 out of 10, though.
Ooh, that's harsh.
Because there's actually a lot of issues that I have with this game. For example, like, I can only have one partner.
Right.
And calling it partner as well is a bit of a weird term that I wouldn't really use for shooter games. You know, I would like a squad, for example.
Right.
So I would like to have maybe a team of four people in one squad
So
that I can spawn within more than just one person. I also think the lack of finding servers is an issue. For us in Asia,
it's a massive issue.
It's a massive issue, and, you know, we've got massive lag when it comes to playing with guys from, you know, the UK or the US.
Yeah, people over in Australasia, New Zealand cannot even get a game for many times. You know, like you say, the servers seem to be located in North America and parts of Europe. Very little support over here in Asia and Australasia.
And it's because of these minor issues. I'm not giving it like super high scores.
Right.
But there are elements within the game that is just really fun that makes it a worthwhile purchase.
I'll tell you what I would say is that I think the developers, DICE, have done an incredible job. I think the publishers, EA, are doing what EA do best.
Oh, yeah.
They've split the community because of DLC, for one. They've clearly rushed out a product that we know would benefit from some more nurture time.
Yeah.
You know, the whole DLC pre-release of Jakku, for people who did get the deluxe edition, already split the community very, very early on. You know, if I was that publisher, I'd think, no, let's give everybody the same chance at the same time.
Exactly.
Then they can make up their mind if they want the season pass a little bit later on. But this is EA.
And I would like to have a little bit of story in the single player as well. You know, it would be nice to have that. You know, the only game that I could play that has a Star Wars story right now is the Disney Infinity Star Wars edition. But even I want something more. I want something from, you know, a game that looks exactly like how I imagine playing a Star Wars game, which is this Battlefront.
The problem is, though, Jeff, I mean, they've released the game before the movie.
Yeah.
So whatever storyline they gave you, would be a spoiler, for want of a better word. So maybe we might see something in the future.
Hopefully. Well, we'll take a short break. When we come back, there's two more games that we will review. We'll be right back. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. And we're back. This is Game Time, Episode 9. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Richard Bradbury.
Hello, hello.
And we are doing, early on we did Star Wars Battlefront, and right now we are going to be doing two more games. And surprisingly, both of these games are also shooter-based kind of styles. It's like a shooter episode, probably. Call of Duty, Black Ops 3.
Right.
Why do you do the things you do? Do you not see the futility of your tiny, insignificant existence? You are but fragments of a bigger universe. Your sins serve only as an invitation. An invitation to an evil beyond your imagination. I'll lead the way.
Now, I know when the first few shows, when we started off, we talked about Battlefield 4. And I said on air that, you know, Battlefield 4 is a real proper shooter game. And I don't include Call of Duty in that list.
Right.
And a lot of people were like, how dare you?
Because, right,
you know,
right,
it is very split. You know,
right,
people love Battlefield 4, hate Call of Duty.
And vice versa.
And vice versa, right? Yeah. However, though, Black Ops 3, I've been playing this for a while now. And just like Star Wars, it feels very casual gaming.
Right, right.
But a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, it has guns, it has zombies and jetpacks.
Oh, yeah. And you can do one of those, you know, running on the walls kind of style while you're shooting. And you can, you know, then jump off from a wall and jetpack to another place. And the maps are very small.
Right.
So think of this like the Star Wars where you play against 20 people. And it's a very small map, but so many holes. There's,
right,
like, you know, there's, you can go underground, you can jump upwards, you can use a jetpack to see the whole map itself. And there's so many things that you can do. And you die immediately. Like, you would have maybe 4 kills and then 1 death within a minute.
Right. So a classic arena style
exactly,
shooting.
Exactly, yeah. So and with that, like, I felt this is a lot more relaxed than, you know, when I was always playing Battlefield 4. And all, right? You always get rage quits when you
right,
play Battlefield 4. You know,
right,
you destroy a lot of controllers using Battlefield 4. But with this,
sure,
it's a lot of fun. If you're looking for a game that gives you that sense of, you know, excitement when you only probably have 10 minutes, Battlefield 4 and all the other games will not give you such entertainment for 10 minutes.
Mm.
But for games like Battlefront and Call of Duty Black Ops 3, it does give you that 10 minutes enjoyment. Then you can go and do something else.
Mm.
If you want something a bit more longer, there's this zombie mode, which is back again. I remember playing zombie mode in, I think, the earlier editions, and I loved it.
Right.
It was really good. But I used to play on the PC. Now I moved on to the PS4 and they've added some new elements to it. It feels really good. Like, it's something that the first mode that I get onto Black Ops 3 is zombie
mode.
Right. It is just so fun.
Right.
And you go through multiple stages and layers of zombie attacks and waves of attacks and so forth. And then you build up your base again, you rank up your guns, and then the wave will come in and you've got like one boss in a way that comes in, you kill that, you keep on moving. It's just a never ending to see how far
you can go.
You can go.
Right.
And that gives me a lot of excitement. I know our mutual friend is a big,
huge fan
yeah, of this zombie mode, and I don't think he's got it yet.
No.
But hopefully he's, you know, he
this is our
be...
friend Butch, if you are a regular listener, you'll have heard his name mentioned a few times. Avid gamer, lives over there somewhere in Austria where it's nice and cold, doesn't have a real job, plays games all day.
Now, they've also decided to go to, like, the feel of the zombie mode goes back to, like, a 1940s film style. It's voiced by Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And also Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
So
big names.
Big names. I'm not surprised because, you know, Call of Duty had Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not surprised that they bring in these big names to do the voices and all. It does feel really good. It's not so Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead feels a lot more zombie attack. This is like an element within the game itself. It has nothing to do with the story of Call of Duty, but it is a very fun game. I actually like this a lot. This is probably about 7 to 8 out of 10.
You're giving it more than Battlefront?
More than Battlefront.
Oh,
yeah,
my
more
word.
More than Battlefront.
This might encourage me to go out and actually buy it then.
It's available on the Xbox One, the PS4, and the PC. On the PS4 store, the Call of Duty Black Ops 3 retails at 220 ringgit for the standard edition, and it requires 41 gigabytes. I'm running out of space on my hard drive, Rich.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Time to delete some of that stuff you've got on there.
Running out of space, running out of cash.
Right.
You know, it's the year-end problem.
My word. I mean, the last month I've spent so much money on video games, and I'm actually supposed to be going home for Christmas and one thing or another, and I'm like, oh, where's all my money gone?
Yeah.
There you go. But we know where it's gone, right?
We know where it's gone. Well, yeah, the bulk of it also recently I've spent on this next game, which has been touted as the best game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see why. Mm-hmm. After much, hesitant from me, I've been deciding to hold this off for a very long time.
Finally.
Finally, I've got it. And I don't quite know how to do a proper review of this game. And the game we're talking about is Fallout 4.
Of course.
Of course.
But the cry.
With the world poised on the brink of war, Vault-Tec is reporting a record number.
But me.
Folks, it seems we've got some breaking news. Stand by.
All over. though I'm dry, to forget about how much I care for you.
We seem to have lost contact with our affiliate stations. Stand by. We do have coming in confirmed reports of nuclear detonations.
My God. Our soldiers were right. War never changes.
So you play as a sole survivor of Vault 111.
Right.
And yep. The world was destroyed by a nuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off a bit boring, a bit slow, because, you know, you got to do a lot of tedious stuff. You got to, you know, do your character face, which can take hours if you want to.
Yeah.
Because you can adjust every single bit,
yeah,
even to like your eyelash spacing.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
just ridiculous.
It is. Yeah. It's enjoyable, though.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, you would want to create a character that looks very similar to you.
Or not.
I've
seen some wonderful creations on there. I've seen people playing as Hulk Hogan. I've seen people playing as all kinds of characters, you know. Really, really. They've spent a lot of time creating these characters.
Oh, okay. Well, to my surprise, though, when you keyed in, you have to key in your character's name, and I keyed in my name, Jeff Sandu, and the robot that follows you around,
yeah,
he actually knows how to say Jeff.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is so, it feels so personal.
I know.
And I like that. It's one of the very few games that makes the storytelling a lot more personal.
Agreed.
Because it is really up to you.
Yeah.
There's no walkthrough of like what you should do next.
And that's what I love about it. It's the very fact that it treats you like you have literally just walked out of a vault.
Yeah.
And you know nothing.
Nothing.
You've got this kind of fuzzy memory of something that happened whilst you were inside.
Yeah.
And the rest you know nothing about. So it's a case of kind of putting two and two together,
mm-hmm,
figuring your way out of where you are, and then it's like, well, what do I do next? And that's the beauty of it. You literally have to figure it out at the same time as a character in the gameplay.
Yeah. So we can't really tell you much of, like, you know, what you should do or, you know, what will happen once you've come out of the vault, because it sort of gives away the story as well.
Right.
And also my experiences of the game might be different from yours depending on my character's ability as well.
That's what I was going to talk about. The one thing we could talk about is the kind of the progression system, the perks that you can use, because there's quite a lot of things that you can choose to specialize in. You can be somebody who has incredible charisma, somebody who's incredibly strong, you know, and I've seen people kind of balancing.
Or incredibly lucky.
Yeah. Mm. I've seen people balancing their perks across, so you've got this nice kind of balanced character. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, no.
You're stuck in a wasteland. You've got to be one of
those.
Be
good at something.
Exactly. You've got to be good for something, you know. Mm. So if you decide to buy this game, you decide to play it, specialize in something.
Yeah. Do your research. And also, the one thing that I really have to say is it's on the PS4. I'm not sure about the PC and the Xbox One, though. On the PS4, once you've downloaded it and it's installed, and when you run the game, it's another about an hour before you can play the game. And you might be wondering why. Well, it's because it then does another installation. And the reason being is because once the game starts, it starts. There is no, you know, loading screen or pause screen. The game is just an open world.
Mm-hmm.
It takes about an hour once you've had it in your hard drive. And in that hour, it will actually show you what are all these abilities will do to your character. And watch those videos. I fell asleep halfway.
No, I understand. Yeah.
But I did rewatch back on YouTube again.
Right.
And it actually gives you a clear indication of what type of character that you should create next.
Yeah.
Try not to, like you said, Rich, you know, try not to be balanced in everything.
Mm-mm.
Specialize in something. And then you would see you're doing very well, you know, if you're very lucky, very strong, or you're a charismatic person.
Yeah.
It all has its own perks, and that video throughout the 1 hour while it's installing will explain it in detail.
One thing that they don't tell you that I discovered to my chagrin was when you actually level up and you have these, I think there's about 14 or 15 different levels, you don't have to pick the perk that's immediately below you. If there's something that you like and it seems to be level 10 below, you can use a point to buy that perk. And I wish I would have known that earlier, because there would have been things that I would have chosen to specialize in earlier on in the game. I think I'm about 15 or 18 hours in something right now.
Wow, okay. I've only been about 4. And
it takes over your life, Jeff.
It does. I know.
It does.
It does take over your life. So if you can commit to that, go ahead and do that purchase. Fallout 4 retails at 239 ringgit for the PS4. There is no multiplayer gameplay per se. It's purely single player.
Yeah.
But it's a whole lot of fun.
It is, for
sure. A lot of fun. And trust me, yeah, it will take over your life. And now, in 3 weeks' time, December 29th, it will be our 10th episode.
Really?
Yeah, it will be a decade, which is, I'm sure you're familiar with the term
easy,
decade, Richard.
Easy, yes, all right, yes, yes.
It's also the last episode of the year, but don't worry, we're not actually going anywhere. It's just the last one of the year, and we decided to do some of the games, the best games that we've been playing, and also what we're sort of looking forward to in 2016.
Yeah.
And, so tune in to that's on the 29th of December, and that's all the time we have for episode 9. This has been Game Time. My name is Richard Bradbury.
I've been Jeff Sandu.
Tech Talk BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.